welcome back. You're listening to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island. I'm Bronwyn Dannenfeltzer, and I am here with Barnaby Evans, the creator of Water Fire. And we are here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And our whole show today is all about changing lives and some of the wonderful groups that we have been able to work with at Water Fire and that we will be working with at the upcoming August 23rd fire. So, Barnaby, well, you know, with that, isn't that T. Green an amazing guy?
He is. And for those people who haven't yet discovered Capoeira, this is an event. I just can't recommend it enough. It's fascinating.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And so now moving on to another wonderful thing that we have happening on the 23rd, and we're going to be working with Teach for America again.
Teach for America. I think this is probably, how long has Teach for America been around? Well, let's introduce our guest first.
Okay. Exactly. So we'd like to welcome David Floyd, who is the Director of School Partnership and Policy for Teach for America here in Rhode Island. Welcome, David.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you.
You as well. I think this is going to be the fifth year that they've been participating in Water Fire, that we've been participating
but,
in Water Fire.
But I'm thinking that too, but how long has you been in Rhode Island?
I think similarly for
okay.
5 years.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wasn't sure if we did it right from the beginning. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
So I think nationally the organization has been around for over 20 years now,
good.
But in Rhode Island this is our fifth year.
Well, it's been our great pleasure to welcome the teachers who are coming into Rhode Island to teach in our schools all over the state, and usually it's about 35 teachers or so. How many teachers are coming in this year?
Yeah, that's correct. So last year we brought in 30 new teachers, and this year we have 35 new teachers, which is exciting for us. I think we're trying to balance being ambitious in the growth of our program, also being feasible
sure.
and thinking about where the need is.
And what Brahman and I have been looking at today with these great guests is changing lives. Could you tell us, I think the Teach for America program is a really interesting program, and these are recent college graduates, but why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about its conception and what you've been doing in Rhode Island for the last 5 years?
Sure, yeah. So I think the idea of Teach for America was born out of the reality that in our low-income and urban areas, in some places, about half of students won't finish high school. And I think as we see in society an increasing need for not only a high school degree, but some sort of post-secondary training, whether that's college or whether that's a trade. And so when students aren't given the educational opportunities they need, then they're unable to find a productive place within society and able to realize this potential that we know that we have. So what we do in Teach for America is we look to recruit a diverse and talented pool of individuals to come and to commit for teaching for at least 2 years in the low-income schools around our state. And what we find is that beyond the impact in the classroom, it's also this realization not only of how complex the issue is of ensuring that every kid's getting a great education, but also that it is a solvable problem.
Right.
And so inspiring them towards that in their own growth and leadership.
We've had the pleasure of meeting many of your teachers as they've come in and discovered Rhode Island. Sometimes it's the first weekend night that they've been. Are they here now? Or are they?
Yeah, so they have just returned from New York City where they did their summer training program.
Okay.
And the event like Water Fire is such an amazing thing for them because for about a third of them, this is homecoming, right? So
yeah.
They have either grew up here or went
right.
to college here. But for the other two-thirds coming from different places as far as California and Texas and Washington, this is an incredible opportunity to learn about the community, to learn what's important about the community and to be able to be invested in a lot of the really wonderful things going on in Providence. And we're just incredibly grateful that they get the opportunity to participate in that.
Well, it's Water Fire is a wonderful window to open up to the strength and beauty and diversity and just magic that can happen in the city. And it's what we want to do is emphasize the positive things and help people achieve their missions and help lives be changed. And we're so pleased to have these partnerships. One of the things that we play with, use play in a positive sense, that we talk about it in conceptualizing an experience like Water Fire, is metaphoric communication. And this idea of lighting a torch and walking out into the dark, carrying a torch, and is meant to represent what teachers do.
Hmm.
They illuminate the world, and they set a spark in students' minds, so they're excited about learning. And there's that wonderful quote from Plato that education is not the filling of a bucket, but the lighting of a torch, so that people can go forth into a dark world. And all these Promethean images of Prometheus bringing fire to man for the first time, and it being a symbol of education and accomplishment and engagement, that's the story landscape in which we create water fire.
Sure.
And earlier in the broadcast, we were talking to both the students from Afghanistan about this sense of everyone coming together and bringing light into the world. And it's the same thing with Tigray and his group of Kaporistas who are performing. And it's a wonderful series of volunteers and professionals and artists who all come together to make the evening magical.
Hmm. So how long have you been with Teach for America, David?
So I have been on staff for a little over a year, about 14 months now. But previous to that, I joined Teach for America when I graduated from college, and I was a sixth grade teacher for 3 years, which I can say that I loved sixth grade dearly. Not many people do because it's such an interesting age, but I found them, my students, to just be fascinating and in such an interesting place in their lives as they moved out of elementary school and into secondary and into middle school. Such an interesting and transformative time in their lives.
So. Absolutely.
And I guess I would be curious, what are the statistics here in Rhode Island as to graduation rates for low-income families?
Sure. Yeah, so they mirror national statistics. So when you look at students growing up in low-income communities, it is about half of them are unlikely to graduate from high school, and even those that do, about 1 in 10 of them are likely to graduate from college. So again, when we think about an increasingly complex economy that requires a variety of skills, that form of post-secondary training is so vital, and you can't access that training unless you have a strong educational foundation in your early years and in your high school years. And so in working with the teachers who are already doing great work in our schools, we bring in our teachers in the hopes of ensuring that they're able to provide our kids a really great education, because as you alluded to, it is a lighting of a fire. We're not filling our students with what they don't already have, because they bring such a diversity of experiences and wisdom and knowledge to the table already.
It's letting people see something in a new light, literally, a new perspective. That's what education's about. And what I love about the guests we've had today is you're all doing it in many different ways, and they all interact together to make a greater whole. We were talking about the students from Afghanistan for whom education was actually denied in their country. Mm. These women who could not go to school and are coming here for a college education. CELIS's program with Capoeira brings students engagement and a sense of belonging and a real sense of mastery and discipline and a reason to stay in school. And Teach for America talks about this larger program of education. And frankly, I think there are many success stories in education in Rhode Island. And once again, just like the news focuses on the bad, there's so many positive programs.
Yeah.
And I think when we were talking before we came on air, you were telling me that there's some interesting kind of shifts and movements in Teach for America and what you're seeing in the actual teachers that you're recruiting.
Yeah, so one of the things that we've been working to do is really to diversify our teaching force. We know that nationally about 1 out of 5 teachers identifies as a person of color, and yet when you look in our low-income schools, about 90% of our students identify as a person of color. And so while we know that all teachers can be successful, we know that when students can look at the teacher and they can see themselves, that can be really powerful. And so this year, nationally, Teach for America, half of their incoming teachers identify as a person of color, which is really exciting for us, especially when we look at one of our teachers, like Ms. Gomez, who teaches first grade in the same neighborhood in which she grew up. And so now her students are seeing her not only as someone who looks like them and who can speak with their parents in their native language, but also grew up in the same neighborhood in the same environment as they did.
Which cities will these 35 teachers be teaching in?
So right now we're throughout Providence, Cumberland, a little bit in Lincoln, in Pawtucket, in Central Falls. And in the past, we've been in places like Newport. But it depends, again, where the needs are throughout our cities. But Providence at this point is our largest partner in a variety of traditional public and public charter schools as well.
Well, David, I'd really like to thank you for coming in. I'd like to thank you for the work that Teach for America is doing. And just to close out, we will be having your 35 teachers carry torches through water fire on August 23rd as they begin their next 2 years of teaching here in our state.
We can't wait. We're very excited for it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. You're listening to AM 790, Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island. Welcome back. You're listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island, and I'm Bronwyn Dannenfeltzer, and I'm here with Barnaby Evans. And wow, what an amazing show, Barnaby, you know, all about changing lives in these wonderful groups that we get to work with. But as we were sitting here, you know, I was reflecting and thinking forward even. You know, we did the Hep C fire, all about changing lives.
All about changing lives, absolutely.
We did the Gloria Gemma fire. Yeah. Everything
the
that
Veterans
seemed,
fire, you know. Yeah. What we try to reach out to connect with are the many, many people who are moving the community forward in so many different ways.
Yeah, and I know that we've done in the past a salute to teachers and educators.
We will be doing that again on September 27th. Will be the salute to Rhode Island educators, and they changed it from teachers to educators because they want to talk about the importance of principals and people who run the schools and things like that. And that'll be on September 27th, along with Bryant University and URI and the U.S. China Institute. And
that's right, dragons will be on the river again, right?
There will be dragons on the river. I was just talking about whether we can get the dragons to breathe fire, and PK was scratching his head and saying, but something. We'll solve it. We'll be looking at distinguished educators, 75 of them who've received national awards, who will be honoring on September 27th. So there's a theme here.
Yeah.
It's all about changing lives.
And we've got a lot of, you know, I was thinking, we've got a lot of fires that we're looking forward to. Normally, we used to remember shut down in October, but not anymore. We've got
we have Veterans Fire, which is, and we just did the 150th anniversary of the police, and boy, was it amazing to watch all those policemen celebrating. And with some sadness, we had the families there of four officers that they had lost, mm-hmm. and there's the sense of sacrifice and the professionalism they bring, as well as the challenges they face.
Yeah, and you know, I got to tell you, wasn't it nice to have that ballroom back up and running again? So I'm going to put a shameless plug in here because I'm the director of development, but we need a sponsor because we need to get that back. People were so excited, Barnaby.
We need the salsa back for all the Teach for America dancers as well as CLC. It was beautiful.
That's
it was
right.
A wonderful night.
We used to bombard them, right? And you used to have salsa dancers come out and, yeah.
That was a surprise.
It was a surprise.
We'll do it again.
We will. So, yeah, so if there's anybody out there that wants to sponsor that ballroom, we'd like to get her back up and running next year. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Barnaby, you know, I think when you created Waterfire, I don't know if you ever expected that you would be changing so many lives by allowing us to work with such incredible groups and highlight them, and we can work together as partners in this community. So thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. You're very welcome. I just think it's important to say thank you and to recognize people doing great work. That's at the heart is what we're trying to do at Waterfire. It's not about the fires. It's about the people working together to make Rhode Island a great place.
So thank you, everyone who's been listening today. We had great guests, a great show. If you missed any of the show, you can find it on business790.com. And we hope to see you soon down by the river. We'll be back with you next Wednesday.